On the block, on demand.
Without Jerry McInerney, we wouldn't have won 10 games this year. Okay? Not 10.
DeVito, pop pass, end zone, touchdown, and the ball game. DeVito, in relief, wins it for the Orange.
They don't know about the kumbaya meetings we had this week.
Swing and a miss. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Josh Allen, touchdown Buffalo. A 14-yard quarterback draw.
Somebody in Vegas told them they were going to win by 20.
And a celebration begins.
This is On the Block.
Right, you know what? There's validity in that opinion.
Here's X-Men.
Ah, Nate. On ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio, Utica-Rome, heard on 96.5 FM, heard wherever you are, whatever you shall be doing on the ESPN app, even in the drizzle and the 52 degrees. Summit and I took our walk today, and I was listening to this very radio station on the ESPN app. And in the course of that, by the way, shout out to our boy, ran into Frank from East Syracuse, said hello. So even if you're out there in the drizzle and the rain, or maybe staying dry, safe and warm, you can take us with you. It's a great way to listen out of the Central New York radio airwaves range. Wherever you are, just download the ESPN app, find the listen tab, and find ESPN Syracuse. Another amazing experience to take in the program, of course, comes via Twitch. Hello, Twitch friends. Twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. That's how you access the visual experience of the program, the live chat throughout the program. And when the radio goes to commercial breaks, you on Twitch do not. It's a commercial-free experience. We keep the mics on and all kinds of hijinks and tomfoolery ensues. So however you're taking in the show today, we greatly appreciate it. You can participate in it as well at 437-7644, Brent Axe Media on Twitter. The text line is 288-0644, or of course, as mentioned, the live chat throughout on Twitch. Kelly Gramlich is going to join us today. Always enjoy our conversations with Kelly. She is a radio host on 105.5 The Roar, which is still one of the coolest radio station names in the country. She's on the ACC Network. She's got a new podcast as well, all about the ACC with our friend Eric McClain, who we have on the show regularly. We're going to have him on this week from the ACC Network, former Clemson captain. And Kelly's got a lot going on. And every time Syracuse and Clemson cross paths, we got to get Kelly on the show. We will do that right here in this hour at 4:20. I've got plenty of thoughts on the Bills last night. They were so close, yet so far away in a lot of ways. I admire some things that they did. I'm still pretty concerned about others. There's no getting around the fact, I heard our friends Rain and Matt saying this before we came on the air. Yeah, Josh Allen had a bad game. I am not going to defend Josh Allen today. Still had a hell of a throw to Stephon Diggs. Still had a great throw to Cole Beasley for a touchdown. Let's not just say he fell off the map, but he did not have the game you need your franchise starting quarterback to have in order to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, because they actually had a shot at it. That's the encouraging thing. Like, you didn't get on the field with Kansas City last night, and you didn't belong there. You belonged on that field with the defending Super Bowl champions, with Patty Mahomes. You just didn't do what you needed to do to win that game, even at home. So mixed emotions for sure today. We'll go on the blind side as usual, but World Series tonight, as heard on ESPN Radio. Looking forward to the Dodgers and the Rays. I'll explain why I'm rooting for the Dodgers. And the NFC least, someone's got to win this thing. Even the Dallas Cowboys, who remain in first place, despite the god-awful football game we had to sit through last night after the Bills and Chiefs, which was at least somewhat of an entertaining game. So all that to come, but where we start today is 46.5. The point spread, for Syracuse and Clemson is now at 46.5. And our good friend Jimmy CBW, who you see lurking in the chat at Twitch and on Twitter, and is one of our more loyal and passionate followers here on the radio station, sent me a graphic, and I tweeted that out. It's just all the point spreads of Syracuse and Clemson. They're either at this point 46 or 46.5. It is the largest point spread in the history of Syracuse football in a game they're involved in. And not in a good way, right? So we've talked a lot in the past few weeks about point spreads and how they work. And remember, Georgia Tech was actually an 8-point favorite on Syracuse, and they won that game. And, you know, somebody explained this to me on Twitter like I'm 5 years old and I don't understand these things. And here, let me pull up the tweet so I can... the adventures of Twitter that you go through. And, of course, now I can't find it. But it was basically... Now I have to find it, right? You can peruse my... Oh, here it is. A point spread is just the number that will get the total number of gamblers to split equally between the teams with a bit extra for the house. It's not a predictor of anything. Oh, is that how that works, Phil? Thank you. I wasn't aware of that. Anyway, that's where Syracuse sits right now. 46.5 point underdogs to Clemson. And where they sit right now is in a spot where the gap between these two schools has never been wider. This is who you're chasing. This is the team you measure yourself up against. How do you measure yourself up against other golfers? By height, right? This is who you're supposedly going after, and everybody is going after in the ACC. As I asked Dino Babers about this on the Zoom yesterday, and here's what he said.
You know, based off of what those guys win the national championship two out of the last 4 years and the facilities that they have compared to everybody else in the conference, I think the entire country is chasing Clemson. Alabama is chasing Clemson. Everybody's chasing Clemson. And I think it's fortunate for us that every year we get an opportunity to play them. I don't look at that as something that's bad. I look at that as something that's good. And unfortunately this year, you know, we're really banged up and we got a bunch of young guys going against some really good first round draft picks. They're going to be playing in the National Football League, but that's all part of it. We enjoy challenges like that, even though, you know, things may not work out the way people see them. That's what we get in it for. So what other people look like, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to be that guy. That's the reason why you're not us, because we do enjoy those.
A little bit more from Coach Babers on Clemson and how basically you can't recruit the same way when you're Syracuse going up against that.
No, I don't really get into the rankings. I mean, I saw Jimmy Garoppolo tearing them up the other day on TV, and his star rating was zero. So I really don't get into the rankings part of it. I know it's a really good thing for the offseason, and it's good for fans. You know, we make evaluations, and hopefully we're evaluating correctly. And based off of those evaluations, there's personal player development that needs to go on. Some of our players are not as ranked as high as some of the other teams we play. I know that Clemson is starting two or three freshmen that started their first snap, you know, their first snap of college football. They played at Clemson as a freshman. I mean, for that player to be able to play at that level is unbelievable. And some of their recruits are exactly like that.
This is a team that you beat in 2017, and yeah, you knocked out Clemson's starting quarterback, but that's still Clemson with the best recruits and a bunch of five stars and a top-to-bottom lineup that should beat Syracuse every time they get on the field. In 2018, you were one possession away. You were a fourth down play away from beating Clemson at Clemson. The last year that you played, 50,000 fans in the Carrier Dome, 41-6 was the score, and I think Dabo kind of called off the dogs in that game, as you hope he does this year, take mercy on Syracuse. And we all know how it's going to go Saturday. The only question is if Clemson covers that 46.5, and the only reason they won't is if they hit the brakes and don't do what they do. So there's a lot of things in there about recruiting and about who you're chasing, and everybody's sort of chasing them. But, of course, you've got to recalibrate that now. That's just not a team you're going to catch. I don't think I'm ever going to see it. So what exactly are you aiming for? What exactly are you going for? How are you redefining what the expectations for the program are? Because as I noted on the show yesterday, that's where the conversation's going to go. The football team's just not interesting enough anymore. We'll discuss them. We'll cover it. We're going to have Kelly Gramlich on in the next segment. We'll have our usual guests and breakdown of X's and O's in football. We're not going to completely ignore that, but this is a team that has just been so ravaged by injury that they just can't compete against Clemson, and I doubt some of the teams down the road they can compete against. So sitting here and seriously discussing Syracuse matching up against some of these teams football-wise, that'd be wasting your time, right? It's about a macro-level discussion of where the program is needs to be. And the easy answer to that, of course, is the quarterback position, because that's how you beat Clemson in 2017. That's how you stayed in that game in 2018. It's a simple thing. I'm not really going beyond anything that you already know as a fan, but that's where this conversation needs to go now. Tommy DeVito's hurt. He's out for the year. I don't know if we're ever going to get a complete picture of what he would be, but he checked all the right boxes. For those that criticize Dino Babers for recruiting and not stocking the depth where it needs to be, there are certainly some valid points there. But on the surface, if I handed you a piece of paper and I said, this is the quarterback Syracuse is getting, and you looked at Elite 11, you looked at four stars, and I know some rankings had him three, but the arm strength, he worked with Trent Dilfer, like everything that came out of it, you'd say, yes, okay, go get him. But now you got to get more. And now you got to get two or three of those guys. And now you're in a spot where is Jacobian Morgan or Dylan Markowitz behind Rex Culpepper at this point capable quarterbacks? We're not going to know the answer to that question this year because they don't have enough of a team to show it. We'll get flashes of it. We'll get a sense of it. And they're not even probably going to play until, I would imagine, 2 or 3 weeks from now. You cannot put them out there against Clemson. Maybe you will, like in the fourth quarter, just to say, hey, kid, you got to play at Death Valley. But that's going to be the answer to this. Justin Lawson comes in next year. Between all these names, who settles in as the guy? And until they answer that question, we're not going to know how Syracuse can recalibrate what they can be as a program. And I hate to revert back to Eric Dungy, but, you know, it's an election season. And I wrote a column yesterday saying, in just exploring this from a different angle, if you had to reelect a football coach the way you reelect a presidential candidate, what have you done for 4 years? What do I think you're going to do for the next four? Dino would lose. Because it's a what have you done for me lately society. The last 2 years have not lived up to what they need to be. Whereas you can, I don't want to get into politics here, right, on the show.
Yay, democracy!
So you can look at this presidential election and see that things even beyond the control of either candidate is affecting how people think of what's going to happen over the next 4 years, namely COVID, right? There are things beyond Dino's control that, right, wrong, or indifferent, fall on him. Because when you get all the praise of 2018 and the upsets and everything up to that point that worked, you also take the fall for what doesn't. So I'm not putting this all on the head coach, but all these discussions we're going to have, all these answers we're trying to get about this, as Syracuse sits as far away from the team that sets the pace in this division, more than ever since they joined the ACC, you got to get a quarterback. That's it. That's the list. Doesn't mean you don't recruit other positions and do the things you need to do and the facilities and all the conversations we have until they get another quarterback. This is all going to be a moot point. So before we get Kelly Gramlich on the program in just a few minutes to get a further sense of this Clemson team, I want to go to the phones. I see the people are lined up and ready to go here. We're going to talk some SU football, talk some Bills. I love it. The people are ready. They didn't even have to wait today. They're like, Axe, I got something to say, so let's make it happen. And we'll start with Jake in Syracuse, who leads things off on the block today at 437-7644. Jake, how are you, bud?
Well, I was good until the Liberty game, but Brent, much like you, I grew up during the Donovan McNabb era.
That was right.
My teens, early 20s.
The salad days of our youth, right, Jake?
Who knew we had the second coming of Joe Montana with Eric Dungy? You know, that being said, I called earlier, when Seth was on the air, and I said, you know, what is the contractual obligation for Liberty's offensive line coach? Because we need to hire him. We need that guy because that was just an amazing display of blocking that just we don't do. And I know, you know, I'm not banging on Dino because, much like you, I grew up during the Paul Pasqualoni era, and we called for his head. And now we look back, and that is the golden era of circus football with McNabb and Don Harrison and all, you know, Dwight Freeney, and now we look back and we're like, God, I wish we didn't get rid of that guy. So, I mean, I wish the best for Dino. I really do. I truly, truly do. But, man, we're in trouble.
And see, and that's my point, Jake. And not to interrupt you, but, see, having been through a few of these, the coaching change is not always the answer. It's a be careful what you wish for thing. I don't feel like Syracuse should not have gotten rid of Paul Pasqualoni. That time was up, but it's the decision-making process. It's who's in charge, who's making the call to replace who's there. So if you are of that frame of mind, it's one of those, well, what's your plan kind of things. Be careful what you wish for kind of things, and we're in a different era with contract extensions and a number of factors that have to be put into this decision. Switching gears, but always glad to talk about the Buffalo Bills. Mark and Clay here to do that. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Brent, how's it going?
Good, sir. What do you think of the Bills?
Well, last two games I've been, you could say, mightily disappointed with our quarterback play. He's just not living up to his potential. And, you know, we got a cupcake coming up. We got the Jets. You know, at the Jets, that's an instant win, obviously.
That's what they call a get-right game, Mark. you'll go out there.
I don't know if I buy that.
Empty calories, too, is a way you can look at it, right?
I look at the sort of like the primer game is the one against the Patriots. And, you know, if they connect that, then, you know, it's all gates open for the rest of the go there. But these, you know, they're playing against good competition. Kansas City, obviously, you know, the Titans, good competition as well. And they couldn't come through. And, you know, that's a statement. And I just, you know, I don't think the Bills, I think I give it another year. Potentially too.
I don't think they have to wait that long, Mark, to be honest with you. Now, the bad news is in the two top contending teams in the AFC, the teams that faced off in the AFC Championship game, you lost both. The good news is that you actually looked like you belonged in one of those games, not the Tennessee game. That was just, you burned the film in that one. Last night, though, was more about Buffalo shooting itself in the foot versus Kansas City overwhelming you, and I think that's actually a good sign. In some ways, but it's aggravating in another because they were so darn close. And I'll get more into that during hot takes later in the show. Josh Allen, I'm not going to excuse his game last night. For the three good games he'll have, he'll take steps back, he'll fall back into old habits, he'll force it, he'll run with the football when he should. And he was under pressure at times and had to, but I'm not going to excuse his play. Some of the other things the Bills tried that I actually admire them for trying just didn't work. They gave up too much on the run, even though they were conceding the run. Tyler Bass has got to make that field goal. Like, come on. Step up, kid. That's big. They needed those points. And a lot of other things we'll get into during hot takes. Cowboy fans, I don't know if you're going to want to stick around for hot takes either. Let's get our market update, and then we'll talk to our friend Kelly Gramlich from 105.5 The Roar coming up. Joe! Our friend from Lee Baldwin & Company here to deliver the market update, though, on this Tuesday. Hello, sir.
X, how's it going today?
Not bad, my friend. How about you?
I'm hanging in there.
Atta baby. How about the market? How'd that do?
We did okay today. Dow was up 113 points, closing at 28,308. The S&P was up 16, closing at 3,443. Diamond of the day was Travelers, up $6.27, closing at 118.11. And the dog of the day was IBM, down $8.12, closing at 117.40.
Joe, appreciate the update as always, my friend. You can find Lee Baldwin and Company at LeeBaldwin.com, or better yet, stop in. Hang, Kaz, Utica, have a cup of coffee and get great advice from Joe and Lee's great crew so we have more diamonds than dogs on your portfolio. We will break on that note here in our Burdick BMW opening drive and come back with somebody who knows Clemson football inside and now Clemson sports inside and out. We always enjoy catching up with Kelly Gramlich from 105.5 The Roar. It's coming up next. Stay right there.
This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
Welcome back. You're On the Block, ESPN Radio. Great to have you here. Don't forget coverage of the World Series coming your way tonight. Dodgers and Rays. We'll have every pitch of it for you here on ESPN Radio. We were just talking about this on our Twitch feed, which you should be watching and a part of at twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. I didn't even know this, but by watching on Twitch, Grandpa doesn't know these things, but so when you watch on Twitch, you get what are called channel points, because one of our regulars in the Twitch chat, Jimmy CBW, he's like highlighting his comment and using like all these graphics. I'm like, ooh, how do you do that? And apparently like you get points the more you watch and you can do these sort of things. So just another added benefit to twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. But one thing we were discussing, because Scott brought it up in his call earlier this hour, and I get the reference points, right? Well, Coach Mack did this, and Paul Pasqualoni did that. But all these coaches had good recruits, all of them. The question is consistency. Do you get enough recruits? And then there's the legacy recruits, right? So not to play the what-if game, but I'm going to play it for a minute anyway. Go back to late 90s. And I know that's a long time and football has changed dramatically. But see, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Because some of the complaints, if you will, that I'm hearing from Syracuse football fans again, don't change about recruiting, about facilities. And the facilities are better than they were in the mid-90s. But geographically, who you're competing with, like, it's funny how some of these conversations don't change. And the challenge that still exists at Syracuse. And what is discouraging for Syracuse and what is discouraging to me is somebody who's lived here, has covered this team, grew up watching this team. You don't want people to get disheartened to the point where they feel like, and sometimes you're just blowing off steam when you get on Twitter or call social or call sports talk radio, pardon me, and express this. But you're not entirely wrong to say, man, this just isn't going to work. Syracuse football kind of is what it is. This is how they're going to compete. You're not going to run with the once a decade, maybe you're going to have a team good enough to beat a Clemson or a Louisville or a Florida State. And I know those programs are kind of off from their levels. Even they go up and down, right? Florida State beats North Carolina this week, and that was considered an upset. But let's look back at a couple things here. 1998, Donovan McNabb moves on. Michael Vick was about lined up to take that. That coaching staff under Paul Pasqualoni, Kevin Rogers, thought they had him and went all in on him. And why wouldn't you? Because if you followed up Michael Vick with Donovan McNabb, what follows that? What patterns build from there? Right? And Dwight Freeney was around then. Like, Syracuse had some game-changing, game-breaking players, NFL high-level talents at that point. So if you went from McNabb to Vick, who would have been attracted to come to Syracuse because of those two back-to-back? So here we are 20 years later talking about that kind of quarterback that Syracuse needs, and Eric Dungy was, and demonstrated that is best for this offense, that hides the flaws of your offensive line, that connects with receivers, that makes plays with their legs, right? All the things you need. That feels like 50 years ago, but it was only 20 years ago. So Vic spurns Syracuse, doesn't come to Syracuse, and that's a story in and of itself, but that's the ultimate what-if to me. Michael Vick also became a controversial figure for obvious reasons. The dogfighting thing, went to jail for it, and now is kind of enjoying a renaissance, if you will. He's a Fox Sports analyst and still gets a lot of grief from people, as he should, for the dogfighting thing. But, you know, you say his name, and it's not quite the same as if you said it maybe in the height of that controversy. The other big what if, and I don't think it would have necessarily would prevent Syracuse football from sinking the way it did, but it's interesting to think about. Ray Rice. Ray Rice was coming to Syracuse. Ray Rice was committed to Syracuse. Paul Pasqualoni gets fired. Ray Rice doesn't come to Syracuse. Ray Rice goes to Rutgers and becomes the centerpiece of for that 5 minutes when Rutgers was good. Now, Ray Rice is a running back. They're not as impactful as quarterbacks, but what players would follow watching a dynamic player like that? It certainly would have extended the Pasqualoni era. I don't know for how long, because, I mean, that thing was coming down the pike as it was. One player does not save a coach. But I also think of what McNabb did. I think of what Freeney did in 2001. There's a reason these names flow off the tongue, because at Syracuse, they are standout players, whereas at high-level programs, they have 10 of those on a roster every year, as we're going to see Saturday when Syracuse plays Clemson. So in a sad way, that's why these players grab you so much, because when you get an elite talent like that, it's been more rare in the last 20 years or so. And even Dungy was not a high-profile four-star talent. Like, he basically, Tim Lester went out and got him, and he was a diamond in the rough. I think he had Wyoming, some interest from Oregon, if I recall, and like one other school, right? Wasn't Harvard interested in him? I mean, this was not a big-time prospect here. This was the epitome of an unwanted diamond in the rough. Dino brought up Jimmy Garoppolo earlier, zero stars. That's great, but that's your one guy. And I know he coached RG3 at Baylor. So it's not like we're talking about, well, we've got the following list of players that have done this. You're kind of leaning a little in, leaning in more on players like that. So that's what this discussion comes down to, and that's why, as we were discussing in the previous segment, I don't know if Garrett Schrader is, sorry, I forgot his name for a second there, had a brain cramp. I don't know if Garrett Schrader, who is entering the transfer portal, is your saver, and even so, he's a transfer. He's a temporary guy, right? But Syracuse beggars can't be choosers here. They've got to put everybody they can on that roster to try and keep things going while recruiting and finding established players that are going to be your guy for two, three, 4 years. But you got to take the stopgaps. Amba Edetawa was a transfer, right? Alton Robinson was a transfer and made big impacts in the short time that they were here. So the more things change, the more they stay the same. Of course, it's about recruiting, dummy, but now you've got the transfer portal. And starting next year, you've got the transfer portal that doesn't require the one-year wait. Every player gets a one-time, no one-year wait transfer in. That would have really helped Syracuse this year with Chris Blake, but Chris Blake would be on a team looking left and right, seeing players dropped around him at a high rate. One player does not make a team, particularly an offensive lineman. Certainly would have helped, though. So the and Dino's even been asked about it and has brought it up in some press conferences unasked. Seniors coming back, these players that will make an impact, like they've already got an eye on the future here, knowing you never admit this publicly. You really can't. But I do appreciate that Dino's actually been somewhat honest about this and like even acknowledging it. Some coaches won't look past the end of their own nose, right? It's all about Clemson, and that's all I'm going to talk about. Whereas Dino made some comments this week and even before that about big picture, what we're thinking about, what we're doing, acknowledging that, sending that message that, yeah, we're thinking about next year because this year is just wacky. And that's good. And on that note, we'll break. We will come back and we'll see what Seth Goldberg's got for us. The Blind Side awaits. Five questions. Don't know what they are. You don't know what they are. But guess what? We're going to answer them anyway, kids. We're going to live dangerously. Stay right there. You're on the block, presented by A&P Auto Parts.
Thank you. Bye-bye.